Asato ma sadgamaya
Asato ma yodhigamaya Nityona amritam
Shanti, shanti, shanti. Om. Sai Ishvaraya Vidmahe.
Sai Ishvaraya Vidmahe.
Sai Ishvaraya Vidmahe. Satyadevaya Dhimahi Satyadevaya Dhimahi Tannas Sarvah Prachodayat Sai Ishvaraya Vidmahe
Sai Ishvaraya Vidmahe
Satyadevaya Dhimahi
Satyadevaya Dhimahi
Tannas Sarvah Prachodayat
Tannas Sarvah Prachodayat
Om Sai Ishvaraya Vidmahe
Sai Ishvaraya Vidmahe
Satyadevaya Dhimahi
Satyadevaya Dhimahi
Tannas Sarvah Prachodayat
Tannas
Shanti 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 A number of devotees have expressed the desire to have another talk for this season, as it were, on this holy Satya Sai Gayatri Mantra. It is very befitting that this expression of this desire took place around the time, the Christmas time, the holy time. In fact, this Satya Sai Gayatri has been revealed by a holy man on Christmas Eve, holy day, at holy time, which is the time of the Sandhya time, the junction of day and night, the night and day, that is called Sandhya, Sandhi, the junction time, which is most propitious, which is most auspicious, and at which time if a mantra or a sacred formula, Vedic in its mold, Vedic in its inspiration, and revealed by a Vedic scholar, Shrotriyam Brahmanishtha, a Shrotriya who is also the one who has practiced Vedic values, in the presence of this holy avatar, to whom this is addressed. In the very presence of this contemporary avatar, or the advent, to whom this great holy mantra has been dedicated. I call it a revelation. It has been called a revelation because it was about 16 years ago, almost exact, 16 years ago, in holy Vrindavan, in the old residence prior to the Trayi Vrindavan's construction, Swami, in His graciousness towards the twilight time, on Christmas Eve, twilight time, as I said, is very, very holy. Any mantra repeated during this time will give you a thousandfold effect than an ordinary recitation during ordinary periods of time. Now, therefore, the setting is extraordinary, is unique, because there were many people, there were the students undoubtedly, and therefore there were also the teachers, and then there were great visitors, great pandits, administrators, government people also, and people from all walks of life, who were electrified at the revelation of this mantra by a holy divine, in the presence of the holy divinity itself, by a Vedic scholar of great repute, a doyen of Vedic learning, one who had, during his long, long life of 95 years or more, towards the end, almost 100 years he lived, and he passed away. His last year and a half was spent in the presence of Bhagavan here. And it was he, in the midst of his talk, Bhagavan looked at him. He was asked by Bhagavan to speak a few things from the Vedas to the students particularly, and this great Vedic scholar began to explain the Upanishads, particularly Taittiriya Upanishad, in which the students at the end of their discipleship are advised how to behave. Satyam vada, dharman chara, all these various things that we talk about, the various values which must be imbibed during the brahmacharya period, that is during the early stage of one's life, during the stage of celibacy, and during the stage of vows of brahmacharya. Now it is during that early period that one must be taught these things. Brahmacharya, living in Brahmic consciousness. This is taught early. This is taught early. In the midst of his talk, this great Vedic scholar was overcome with a tremendous... It is not an emotion. It is not mood making. He was overtaken by a divine inspiration, undoubtedly. And he stopped in the middle. And Bhagavan looked at him. Shastriji, he addressed him, and said, Bangaru, the golden one, go ahead, say it. And it was during that blessed moment, when the setting sun was streaming his great rays into this entrance of the old mandir, where Swami was sitting in all his glory, in all his majesty, on a cushioned big seat. I could still recall that great occasion. And this great scholar, overcome with this inspiration, blurted out, as it were, not composed, not produced by human effort, it looked as though, a Vedic mantra, a mantra in the Vedic mold, with Vedic syllables, with Vedic characteristics, called in the Vedic meter, the most important meter, although it is called the Gayatri meter, It is very simple meter. It has three, this Gayatri meter is the Vedic compositions which conform to a certain Vedic mold. Now, that Vedic mold is called Gayatri Chandas. This great mantra has been revealed at that time, 16 years ago, almost to the date. It was on Christmas Eve, day before yesterday. So it is quite befitting that we meditate on this, that we know about its origins. Well, what is its authority? Any mantra, as we say in the Vedic parlance, is an inspired uttering by a Vedic personality, that means who is very learned, not merely learning, but with all the wisdom that goes with it, but above all, with all the experiential wisdom that goes with it. And at the same time, it must be coming from a person who has lived a Vedic life. Now, there are three types of authorities for acceptance. The first is the scriptural authority. Scriptures speak about avatars, advents, their characteristics, their qualities, their activities, their glories, their majesties. The second valid means, testimony, as it were, is from a Vedic personage, one who is steeped in Vedic learning and practices, who is a Shrotriya, who is also a Brahmanishta, who is established in Brahmic consciousness. And so he was established in the Brahmic consciousness because he was right in front of this great Brahmic personage, that is Bhagavan Baba himself. And that is the second, the Guru as he is called, whose weight is heavy. Guru means heaviness. Heaviness out of learning, out of practice, and out of living in Brahmic consciousness. You have an aptavakya, which means the Shruti, which means the scriptural testimony, who is thoroughly involved in scriptures, who had written about Baba, spoken about Baba, to what extent he would conform. He conforms to every one of the scriptural criteria of an avatar. So he has steeped himself in that. So he is called the revealer, the drashta, the seer of this great mantra. As Bhagavan had said at that moment, he said, "You are the Rishi." And this great sage-like personality then addressed Bhagavan, "You are the divinity incarnate, Sarvadevata Swarupa." So therefore, this is the background of the origins of this particular holy mantra in the presence of Bhagavan, in the presence of great devotees, a number of devotees from all walks of life, from several parts of the world. That was in 1977, Christmas Eve in Vrindavan. The great Kasturi, who passed away later, of course, after 10 years after that perhaps, he told me, "You write it up and give it to Sanatana Sarathi." And this was published in Sanatana Sarathi under the title which was chosen by Kasturiji himself, "A Vedic Scholar Inspired." That appeared, of course, in 79, in the April issue. And what you have here, which has been distributed, is a photocopy of that particular report drawn up by me at the instance of Kasturiji. Now this mantra, Mananat Trayate, the one which saves you from samsara, from this endless cycle of birth and death, by its repetition, tajjapas tadartha bhavanam. Not merely repetition, japa, tadartha bhavanam. Japa means not mere repetition, tadartha bhavanam, knowing its meaning. Now here we come to the three parts of this great Gayatri mantra. First, it begins with pranava, with om. as all mantras undoubtedly do, because Om is the essence of the classical Gayatri. And the classical Gayatri, Tat Savitruvarenyam Bhargo Devasya Dhimahi Dhiyo Yona Prachodaya. The first part of that classical Gayatri is from the, it is the essence of the Vedas. The most ancient, but ever new, the eternal wisdom of the sages revealed relating to the absolute and the relative realities. All realities, the four types of reality that I had mentioned to you earlier. The absolute reality, the worldly reality, one is the satyasya satyam, the other is the, I will deal with this matter when the word satya comes. Now therefore, we have here a great holy mantra with great potency declared under the inspiration, direct presence and inspiration of Bhagavan Baba, and recognized as such by Baba, and from then on, of course, it has been included in the various Gayatris, as you will see here in the morning when we do the Vedic chanting. We do the Vishnu Gayatri, then Rudra Gayatri, then Sai Gayatri, and the other Gayatris follow. So therefore, here is this mantra, which is composed of three parts, of eight letters each. That is called the Gayatri meter. Gayante trayate. If you sing it or recite it, singing means not singing. When you recite it with proper in accents and intonations, that is called in singing, your heart is involved. Mere repetition. No. Repetition with meaning combined with a dedication of your heart, heartfelt expression. That is this Gayatri, which protects you. Gayan pranan trayate. It protects your life. It is life-giving, life-supportive. The positive principle of all life, of all divinity's life. And what is this? We have three parts to it, as I had mentioned, of eight letters each, coming to 24 letters, Vedic syllables, arranged in such wise that when they are added up, their corresponding numbers, every syllable in the Vedas corresponds to a particular number, which is Prakriti. A number, Sankhya. God is expressed in Sankhya Yoga. He is numberless. Infinite. But we start counting. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. To infinite you can't. Ultimately you get back to that one. Ekam sat vipraha bahudha vadanti. God is one. And one only. One only, the great Upanishads say. Advitiyam eva. So, therefore you have this God expressed in different names, by names, and manifesting himself, depending on the devotee's intensity of devotion, in that particular form with which he is comfortable and with which the devotee is absorbed, he must appear before you. This, of course, is stated in the Vedic. Yad bhavam tad bhavati. As you think, so you become. Ultimately, you must think and identify tadātmya bhavam, as Bhagavan had said repeatedly. Tadātmyam, you are that, thou art that, tat tvam asi. It is that complete absorption of no differentiation between the three entities. The one who meditates, the process of meditation, and the meditated, that distinction should go. I will come to that also a little bit later. So therefore, what does the first eight letters, the first part as it were, the first sentence, which has a verb there? Vidmahe. Vidmahe means, we have come to realize, we have come to know, what? We have come to recognize what? That Sai is Ishwar. Sai Ishwaraya Vidmahe. That Sai is Ishwar is what we have come to know, recognize and realize. As I said, the third testimony, apart from scriptures and apart from the Guru, is the most important criteria. The third is your own experience. So by our own, by the words of the scriptures, Shabda Pramana, by the Guru's word, who has no axe to grind, who is not selfish oriented, who has lived the life of a sage-like personality. He has no self-interest. It comes from him. So from the Guru's words, that is the second testimony. But these two are only 10%. 5% scriptures, 5% if I may say so. The calculus of testimony, the arithmetic of testimony, of authority. Only 5% are the scriptures. 5% is what the Guru tells you. It is your own experience. You must walk your own path in spirituality. The Guru is the guide, the scriptures explain. Okay? Now we have come to that. We have kavidmahe, with, to know, to realize, to recognize. What? That Sai is Ishwar. Sai? What is Sai? Saha plus I is in the sandhi, in the euphonic combination in Sanskrit. Saha plus I. Saha is he. I is she, mother. He is the father. The universal divine father is called Saha. The universal divine mother is called I. Shivaha Saha Ityuchyate. As the great Vedic scholar had put it, Ayi iti amba prakirtita. Amba, amma, amma, ma. Ayi. Ayi stands for the universal mother. Tasya, tasya ubhayoho sanyogaha. It is the combination of these two that makes Sai, Samba Shiva. It is the Shiva Shakti. We had the most beautiful bhajan before the Aharati, which exactly formulated the Samba Shiva, Samba Shiva, Sam. Amba Sahita Saha. He with Amba, with Shakti. Because Shakti and he are one and the same. Energy. So, Bhagavan is expressed as Shiva Shakti, that is Sai. So, Shiva is called Ishwar, Maheshwar, Allahu Akbar, Akbar, great, Maha Ishwar, the great God, Maha. So therefore here you have an identification, you must think of it, not must. You may wish to think. You may wish to consider thinking, if I may put it in the most diplomatic terminology, of portraying, picturing, knowing about the Shiva expression. Because the Vishnu expressions, the 10 avatars, they come with all powers, of course, the advent, but they wield the most terrible weapons directly, mega force. Magnum force is used. Shiva also has this Trinetra, the third eye, the eye of both knowledge, wisdom, of liberating knowledge, but it is also the eye of destruction at the time of dissolution of the universe. So therefore here, because I tell you this because this great Vedic scholar on a Shankara Jayanti was speaking here at Bhagavan's instance, and he, out of his own animation, came and said, Bhagavan is Vishnu, Bhagavan is Brahma, Bhagavan is Gayatri, Sarvadevata Swarupa, but by some little absence of mind or some such thing, he forgot to mention Shiva. But he did say Sarvadevata Swarupa. At the time of his departure, Swami called him into the mandir, right where that Shirdi is there, Sai is there, and the whole thing at the background, and he stood. He gave an interview to this great scholar, and I accompanied him to that interview. It's almost like an interview. He said, "Shastriji, in your talk, you mentioned about all divinity. You mentioned about Brahma, Vishnu, Saraswati, Lakshmi. Shall I show you my real form?" And then he materialized one of the most beautiful pictures I had seen. That picture contains the sum and substance of what the Arati at the end says. First, that picture has a big Om. And in the middle of the Om is this coiled hydra-headed serpent with its raised hood. And there is that coiled seat. And on that coiled seat, with the raised hood covering it as it were, inside this big pranava, which is Omkar, is the Alinga form of Shiva. He has both forms. The nearest formless is the circle, and also the Linga form, the egg-shaped. That he's sitting, that Linga was sitting, as it were, on that coiled seat. It was white in color. It was crystal white, as it were, if you can imagine it. And right in the middle was Swami's picture in his saffron clad. Swami's full picture. "Shastriji, this is my true form." It was electrifying to some of us who were there, a few of our family also. It was an extraordinary evidence. And if evidence is needed, he's of course Sarvadevata Swarupa. But the nearest expression, as we could see, this is the meditation we do. Swami speaks of meditation, I'm coming to that later. So therefore here, we have come to realize through scriptural authority, through the words of a guru, and above all, through my own experience, through our own experience, that Sai is Ishwar or divinity. Ishwar has 16 characteristics. Shodasha Kala Paripurnatva, Advent particularly. I don't want to go into these 16 aspects of attractions, glories, majesties, powers, inherent powers, absolute powers, and powers of the relativity of the world. Utpattim cha vinasham cha, bhutanam agatim gatim, vetti vidyam avidyam cha, shannam bhaga iti angana. Bhagavan is described in this. The creation, utpatti and vinasha, creation and destruction. He knows. Sarvajnyatvam here is mentioned here. He vetti vidyam avidyancha. He knows about, he knows means knowing is everything there. Brahmavit brahmaiva bhavati. So therefore this is total comprehensive experiential knowledge, but also the knowledge which leads you to the creative aspect, to the aspect of dissolution for the reorganization of the universe, both the avantara pralaya and the atyantika pralaya. The final dissolution is one, and there is also the cyclical dissolutions which take place at the end of every kalpa. So therefore here you have utpattincha vinasincha bhutanam agatim gatim. He knows the comings and goings of all beings, the birth and the death, display. And he also vetti vidyam avidyancha. Vidya is supreme knowledge, knowledge of liberation, which gives you infinite freedom. Not merely liberty, but freedom. Not merely freedom, but equality, samatvam. Samatvam is called that. I am not repeating the other politicized expressions of liberty, equality and fraternity. Here it is the absolute, which has all these three characteristics. Some of them must have taken these ideas earlier from these basic thoughts, Because all thoughts originate in this Vedic Trinity. So therefore here we have this expression, Veti Vidyam Avidyancha. He knows, he possesses, and he confers the knowledge of the Absolute. He also knows, and he operates, the knowledge of the relative knowledge, the knowledge of nature, the knowledge of the relativity of the world, the worldly knowledge. He is the master of both. And then there is Aishwaryasya Samagrasya Dharmasya Yashasa Shriya Vairagyasya Atmamokshasya Shannam Bhaga Itingana. Another six characteristics. Aishwarya, incomparable prosperity. Samagra, comprehensive. Dharmasya, unexcelled virtuosity. Virtue incarnate. Aishwaryasya dharmasya yashasa shriya. Yashas, incomparable fame. Shriya, total auspiciousness. Vairagyasya tamaupshasya, supreme detachment. Vairagya, viraga, raga vihita. Supreme detachment within and intense activism without, on the outside. Nothing touches inside, that is Swami. And he is supremely active, intensely active outside. Vairagyasyatha mokshasya. But there is another characteristic, there is moksha. He confers liberation. This is the hallmark of an advent of an avatar. It is to bestow liberation. Of course he would teach the eternal verities, the eternal religions, the eternal dharmas. That is one aspect. The other aspect is also that he is intensely active. He shows activism at its best, in its perfection. Yoga karmas kaushalam. Yoga is defined as excellence in action. Any action which arises out of meditation is cleansed of all that selfishness. Selfishness is sin. There is no original sin in Vedic thought. It is selfishness, as Swami had expounded yesterday. Swartha swaprayojanam. It is selfishness that stains all actions. It is selfishness, selfish actions which leave unerasable, which cannot be erased in this life, impressions which are carried over to your next life, to our next life. So therefore, eschew selfishness, egotism. Not egoism, ego identity is necessary in the world of action, but egotism, if it becomes an ism, if it becomes an obsession. Nationality is good, but to be a jingoistic nationalist, of course we have seen its distortions. In European history, in world history, in the intro, the two world wars. What extent to which that kind of jingoism leads. Therefore, it is not ism here. Egotism is wrong. Ego, identity is necessary in the world of relativity, in the world of relative reality to act. Anyway, therefore we have this first part. We have come to recognize Sai, realize Sai through scriptures, testimony, through guru testimony, and above all through our own experience. That is important, as I mentioned. The second part of eight letters, Sai Ishwaraya Vidmahe. After that? Satya Devaya Dhimahi. Now here the verb, the action. Verb means action. There it is, we know, knowing. Here we meditate. Dhimahi. What do we meditate on? on this Satyadev, this God of truth, He is established in truth. Satya. His name also is Satya. That's why it's there also. It is, of course, this is a... Now we meditate on this God of truth. After having recognized, after having realized through our own experience that here is divinity right before us, and we are most lucky during this Kali Yuga to be born as human beings and to have this greatest opportunity of being around at the contemporary avatar's lotus feet. It is undoubtedly our greatest good fortune. The second is, after knowing a thing, it is like knowing about the mango. Knowing about the mango, then you want to eat it, internalize it. That is called dhyana. Dhyana, dhi, intellect, ana. Internalizing it, nearing it. Atmeti upagacchati. You must internalize that knowledge of the characteristics of this avatar, His glories, His majesties, His miracles. As I have called Him, Maha Mahima Manusha Vigraha. So therefore, after knowing about these things, what do you do? You meditate. You meditate on the truth of all truths, the essence of His, of this divinity. What is the essence of that divinity? Swami had explained it yesterday. The expression is an essence. The essence is Satya, truth. But truth is an abstract principle. What is truth? Said Justin Pahit. You remember that. Truth. Can you buy truth? Is there something, a bazaar commodity? No. Dharma, virtue. Can you show me what dharma in its form? Satya, dharma, shanti, peace. Is peace something of a piece of a commodity? Prema. There you are already coming. So these are all abstract concepts, love. Ahimsa. Then you are coming to the expression in our daily life of not injuring anybody to begin with at the negative level. And at the positive level is tyaga. Tyaga, sacrifice. Sharing, caring, serving, sacrificing, including your own body. That is the ultimate experience of all these abstract values. But the one which motivates all of them, first is Satya, of course, and Dharma Acharana. These are all concepts which love is the motor. It is only when you love, then you can practice Ahimsa in all its true form. Those who eat meat, something that is said here. Because if you read the great Dharma Shastras, those who want spirituality, those who want to become sandos or warriors fighting with physical strength, with lot of easily digestible, richest protein food, that's understandable perhaps, as Swami says. Let soldiers eat the food. But here, in spiritual soldiery, you must eschew that. You must eschew, because all the Vedas tell you about it. No injury by thought, word and deed. And therefore, what is the result if you have Ahimsa Pratishthayam Sarva Vairatyaga, as the great Patanjali had said, if you practice Ahimsa, no one will be inimical to you. Vairatyagam, even the animals, the wild animals in the wild bushes, they will not pounce on you if you are animated by non-violence.
That is the result, that is the phala, the fruit that you get out of not practicing himsa. Satya pratishthayam kriya phalashrayatva. If you practice truth, what is it that you are going to get? Kriya phalashrayatva. What you say begins to happen. Your word is sacred. It comes out of the divine. Satya, satya, satya. Dharmo rakshati rakshitaha. What is the point of practicing virtue? Because it protects you. If you protect dharma, if you do your duty, if you are virtuous in your living, you are protected. Protected not only in this life, but in the next lives also, if you didn't go that far as to reach moksha or liberation. So, I don't want to go into these. All these are explained in the great Patanjali Yoga, and Swami had explained the interrelationship. But the primacy is given to the motor force, to the generator of that electric, that is love. And that results ultimately in tyaga, in service, in sacrifice. So these are six values. Satya devaya dhimahi. We meditate on this God of truth. Satyasya satyam, as the great Brihadaranya says about this truth, revelation of the truth. The truth of oneself is the highest truth. Satyasya satyam. The absolute truth, which is truth of all truths. Then there is the truth of the worldly truth, which is called Vyavaharika Satyatvam. And then there is the third, reflectional truth, the Pratibhasika Satyatvam, a reflection of an object which exists, like this mirage truth. You go after the mirage, which is a reflection of sun's rays on particles of dust arising in the heat. When the dust is raised in a big desert area, you mistake it for water. So therefore it is only a reflection. Reflection of the sun. You can even, of course, pray to that reflection, because it has aspects of that sun. So therefore here we have the third type of truth, reflectional. And then, as I said, fictional truth. So, a figment of your imagination. All this, the satya is relativity. Sati yaha. Saha is he, God. Yaha, who, God. He is also who means God. The real who is he. In between is ti. The great Brihadaranya explains it. Taittiriya Brahmana explains the satya. Ti is prakriti, the nature. Swami had explained this beautifully. Prakriti is sandwiched between divinity. Saha is divinity, yaha is divinity, ti in the middle, satya, satya. Truth is veiled, but is not veiled, as I said. Truth veils the veil. Because he is both the mayantu prakritim vidhi, mayinantu maheshwaram. Maya is prakriti, is nature. But the one who is mayina, who puts you under this delusion and illusion, is the Ishwar himself. So, in any case, I am saying this, satya devaya dhimahi. We meditate in the Bhrumadhyā. That is called Dhyanasthan. In the great Dakshinamurti Upanishad, this is mentioned. Baba mentions about the, at the eyebrow, the root of the nose. This is where. But what do you meditate on? Form, object, sound, light, in good posture, all this, and above all, breath. But every one of them, if you concentrate on one, the rest follows. You get an even breath. The light, the sound, the shabda can be meditated on. The light can be meditated on. Jyotirahamasmi, brahmahamasmi. అహమస్మి బ్రహ్మ అహమస్మి, ఆర్ద్రం జ్వలతి జ్యోతిరహమస్మి. ఆల్ దిస్ స్టార్ట్స్ విత్ ఆర్ద్ర మీన్స్ ఎ స్పెక్ ఆఫ్ వాటర్, దట్ ఈస్ ఆత్మ. దిస్ ఇస్ ది ఇండివిజువల్ బీయింగ్. వీఆర్ 99.9% వీఆర్ ఆల్ వాటర్. ఆర్ద్రం జ్వలతి, దెన్ ద బాడీ ఇస్ బర్న్ట్. ఇట్ జ్వెల్, జ్వెల్ మీన్స్ ఇట్ బర్న్స్ అప్. ఆర్ద్రం జ్వలతి జ్యోతిరహమస్మి, ఇట్ ఈస్ దట్ జ్యోతి, ఇట్ ఇస్ ద లైట్. ఐ ఇంటర్నలైజ్ ద లైట్. ద లైట్ అవుట్ సైడ్ ఇస్ లైట్ ఇంటర్నలైజ్డ్, బ్రాట్ ఇన్ సైడ్, క్లీన్స్ అప్ ద హోల్ థింగ్. అండ్ దెన్ బ్రహ్మ అహమస్మి, అహమస్మి బ్రహ్మ అహమస్మి. అండ్ అల్టిమేట్లీ ఇట్ ఎండ్స్ అప్ విత్ అహమేవ అహం. ఐఎమ్ ఐ. దిస్ ఇస్ ద గ్రేట్ మహానారాయణ ఉపనిషత్. So therefore we have here a meditational method which Swami speaks of the light, and the mantra is the sound, and the light is Brahma Jyoti, Jnana Jyoti, Divya Jyoti, and above all this avataric Jyoti, Prema Jyoti, the light of love. Love is God, live in love. That's what Swami said. So this is the meditation on that. Or the meditation could be that form which I described you earlier. But I meditate, as I told you last time, on the lotus feet of the Lord in the Bhrumadhyā. It has given me immediate, two or three times, I had extraordinary experiences. Lotus feet appearing, the Lord appearing, Baba appearing right in front of my eyes. Whenever, and there are only a few occasions, only two so far, I meditated strongly on that. I'm not recommending this to anybody. You must find your own path. Now we come in the next 2 minutes to the third part. Satyadevaya dhimahi tanna sarvah prachodayat. That. He's called only that. The divine has no gender. It's neither. He has no gender means neither neuter, nor masculine, nor feminine. That entity, what is that? Sarvaha, that all in all, that is the key expression there. Naha, as prachodayat, lead us, direct us, inspire us, guide us. In the totality of our being must be guided. Sarvaha can also mean sarvam prachodayat, you could say. Of course, in a misprint it appeared as sarvam and sarvaha at the same time. And I was wondering how it came about, because we have tremendous printer's mistakes, you know. But this one was not accidental. Sarvaha prachodayat is the correct one. Tat plus naha tannaha, tannaha plus sarvaha, tannas sarvaha. తన్నస్ సర్వః ప్లస్ ప్రచోదయాత్ తన్నస్ సర్వః ప్రచోదయాత్ ప్రచోదనా చోదయతి. లీడ్స్ ఎ లీడర్ హూ ఇస్ ఆల్ గుడ్, లీడ్స్ డైరెక్ట్స్ ఎవ్రీ స్టెప్ ఆఫ్ ద వే, గైడ్స్ ఇన్స్పైర్స్ ది టోటాలిటీ ఆఫ్ అవర్ బీయింగ్. సర్వం ప్రచోదయాత్. హియర్ ఐ ఎమ్ నౌ యూజింగ్ ది కర్మధారయ ఆర్ వాట్ ఎవర్ యూ కాల్ దాట్. So therefore, that all-in-all entity, he is sarvajna, omniscient, omnipotent, omniformed, omniwise, omni, all-in-all, omni, he is in all of us. All-in-all entity is called sarvaha. The great Upanishads have always used the word sarvaha. Sarvaha stands for Mahashiva. Sadashiv. He is the all in all. The entity which is in every one of us. Sarvatma Bhutantaratma, as we call it. Sarva Bhutantaratma. Sarva Devata Swarupa. The embodiment of all divinities. Sarvajna. Omniscient. Many, many words are used to express the divine all in all. Tat, that sarvaha, all in all entity, the one who is in each one of us, is called all in all of us, as naha prachodayat,
lead, direct, inspire, so that we follow His human values, the six human values. Satya dharma shanti prema ahimsa tyaga tyage naike amrutatva manashuhu. Only through tyaga. A few, it said. Ake means not. A few only achieved. Because it is such a tyaga, total dedication, total surrender. Only a few are capable. But that doesn't discourage us. Because in Kali Yuga, the very naam, the name of the divine, His remembrance. Kali Yugam, namas smaranat ucharanadeva. Mere repetition will lead you ultimately to that final path of liberation. So therefore, we are praying to these all in all Sarvadevata Swarupa to lead us in all ways, at all times, all wise also. Ways and wise. All wise. To lead us to liberation. So this is the holy mantra which has been revealed 16 years ago by a great Vedic scholar. In Vrindavan, in holy time, holy place, holy presence, holy minutes of that twilight time. And that was 16 years ago to the exact. And I'm very grateful to you. You have given me an opportunity. The ones who had asked me to speak again on this, because they are new, most of them. And it is at their instance that I have agreed once again to speak on this great mantra. Now we repeat the mantra. Saishwaraya vidmahe satyadevaya dhimahi tannah sarva prachodayat. Om shanti satyadevaya dhimahi tannah sarva prachodayat. Saishwaraya vidmahe satyadevaya dhimahi tannah sarva prachodayat. Shanti shanti shanti. Loka samasta sukhino bhavantu. Loka samasta sukhino bhavantu. Loka samasta sukhino bhavantu. Sairam.